The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
So one of my favorite things to do each Father's Day is share a story about my dad. And they're usually pretty funny. Those of you who have been around Summit for a while know that I like to share different stories. The reason they're funny, I think, primarily is because I usually contrast myself with my dad. We do share some similarities since he is my father, including our wonderful sense of humor and our dashing good looks, our mild case of psoriasis, and then obviously our tendency to be sarcastic. I've always looked up to my dad for being a man that knows how to get things done, like in a manly way. He can fix things. He knows how to fix stuff. I think for most dads, as they look at their sons, they assume somewhere along the way they're going to figure out, they'll teach them how to do the manly things that they know how to do. I don't know when it dawned on my dad that I'm not gonna learn. Like, I'm not gonna be able to pick those things up. I remember as a high schooler getting a flat tire and calling my dad and showing up, and he fixed my flat tire right there on the side of the road. He did a fantastic job. I didn't know what to do. He knew how to do it. I have some children of my own. If they were driving and had a flat tire, I'll call AAA. I don't know how to help them. Some of you remember the story I told one time about I have AAA. It's really great to spend that money when you don't know how to fix everything. I had a flat tire one time a couple years ago, and I had to call AAA, and they want you to verify everything. And then they say, like, where are you located? And when the lady asked me, the operator, AAA operator, where are you located? I said, I'm in my driveway. And she laughed, and then I laughed, and then I was like, but seriously, come fix my tire. So I don't know how to do those kinds of manly things, things that you think maybe you would pick up. I didn't quite pick them up. There are some things that I did pick up. One would be my love for baseball. I love baseball, but I love baseball because my dad taught me to love baseball. I played it. He coached me. I watch the Atlanta Braves every chance I get, which isn't often currently. I'm very sad about that. But I'm committed to watching the Braves because when I was growing up, my dad and I, we watched the Braves together. He was crazy intentional in that way. And baseball is just a small example of a way that my dad was intentional, and he influenced and he shaped me. I could talk about his work ethic. I could talk about his commitment to family. I could talk about how he prioritized church life for our family. I could talk about how I've seen him grow spiritually as he has gotten older, and he hasn't taken the path that I observe in some others of becoming bitter with the hardships of life. He's continued to grow, and I've loved that. There's so many things that I've learned. We are 3 weeks into our series, Embracing the Way of Jesus, and we're studying through some of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount you can find in the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And as I was reflecting on Father's Day and the influence of my dad in my life, and now that I do have two daughters of my own, and I think about wanting to be intentional about pouring into their lives, I sometimes wonder, I go, what will my kids say when they look back? What will they say and articulate in regards to my investment in them? I find myself asking the Lord that he would allow them to say that Dad was a man who embraced the way of Jesus, that I modeled a life lived following after my Savior. And what's so beautiful about this invitation to embrace the way of Jesus is it applies to each and every one of us, every man, every woman, every student, every child who is listening in today. You have been invited to trust and follow Jesus with your life. Now, I don't want to rush past the fact in the midst of that it is Father's Day. And I know that so many of you are processing this day on different levels. I don't know all of your experiences. Maybe your dad, like my dad, was crazy intentional. Maybe he was intentional spiritually speaking. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe you're sitting there today and you desire to be a dad and you're currently not. Maybe today your relationship with your dad is really strained. Maybe your relationship with your dad was never restored to a place that you would have liked it to be restored to, and your dad has passed away. I mean, the fact of the matter is, lots of you are processing in different ways today. My ask of you as we spend this time together and study through some of Matthew chapter 6 is that you would take a moment and consider you and Jesus. What I mean by that is your invitation to embrace following and trusting him with all of life and the ramifications of your walk with him, your following him, for those that you do life with. Does that make sense? I think sometimes we focus on our relationship with everyone else first and foremost, as opposed to focusing on our relationship with the Lord, which then will have ramifications for those that we do life with and walk with. The passage we're considering this morning are Jesus' words about prayer and his words about fasting. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to read starting in verse 5. I'm actually just going to read through verse 18 if I can do that. And then we'll talk a little bit. This is what it says in Matthew 6, 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Verse 14 says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We pick up today, coming out of what Josh Keels taught last week in the first four verses of chapter 6. And the point that Jesus was making about generosity and the necessity of a humble heart posture as you give. And that same idea continues with the second and third of what we could call these Jewish religious practices being addressed here, primarily prayer and fasting. The emphasis is the same. What Jesus is doing is talking about motivation in regards to these things, whether it be generosity, prayer, fasting. I don't know if you picked up on this as we read through the verses I just read through, but the assumption here in the instance of both prayer and fasting is that the disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus, those who embrace the way of Jesus will pray and they will fast, right? It's not if, it's when, and the motivation is critical. Verse 5 said, when you pray. Verse 16, Jesus says, when you fast. I only wanted to point that out because I think we make some false assumptions at times about what Jesus talked about here in Matthew and how those words play out in our context today. More on that later. But there is this expectation that a life in the kingdom of God is a life of generosity. And embracing the way of Jesus is embracing a life of prayer. It's embracing a life of fasting. But there is this critical component of the motivation behind it. Jesus wasn't, at least here, saying that religious activity was of the scribes and Pharisees. He wasn't saying that they shouldn't be about those things. He was just saying it's hypocritical in how they're going about it. It's the broken motivation that is wrong. Not that they were doing it. Not that they were praying. Not that they were fasting. Not that they were being generous. It was the broken motivation behind those things. They desired what? Human applause. And Jesus has already offered us, if you go back and you study through the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus has already said that the approval of man cannot be your primary pursuit, right? You cannot be, persecuted for righteousness' sake and primarily be concerned with the approval of man. You can't be poor in spirit and be primarily concerned with the approval of man. Jesus essentially says in Matthew 5, I am and will continue to embody the fullness of this life that I'm inviting you into. And then as we get into chapter 6 here, we begin to see how this practically begins to play out. So your generosity isn't about the approval of man. Your praying isn't about the approval of man. Your fasting isn't about the approval of man. So what is it about? It's about Him. It's about Him. Let's just walk through this really quickly this morning, if we could. As He's talking with them about prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus has already introduced this idea of referring to God as Father earlier on in the Sermon on the Mount, but this is different. And the reason it's different is because this is a direct address to the Lord that Jesus is encouraging the disciples to use. But I want to draw your attention to that phrase, hallowed be your name. What does that mean? I believe it means, God, your name be set apart. God, you have the highest honor. Everything is about your glory and your honor and your fame. If I am to embrace the way of Jesus, if you are to embrace the way of Jesus, you are embracing a life of prayer in which you constantly proclaim the power and the beauty of the God of the universe. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth, just like it is done in heaven. So not only is this about your name being great, Father, it's about your kingdom, and it's about your will. It's about what you are up to. And I want to be about what you're about. I want to be in on what it is that you are doing. Through embracing the way of Jesus, following Jesus, the kingdom of God is breaking into this world. Is it here fully? No. But is it advancing? Yeah. Our prayer should be that it continues to move across the globe, every corner of the world, in a tangible, functional way, impacting our cities and our towns and our neighborhoods and our home. It's this idea of, God, I am a citizen of your kingdom. So as your kingdom comes and your will is done, please allow me the opportunity to be part of sharing, showing, proclaiming, living your kingdom reality in the right here and the right now. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So not only are we proclaiming his greatness and desiring and asking to see his kingdom break forth and His will be done. But we're also to ask Him to provide for us, to forgive us, to guard us. Even in this part of the prayer here that you might say is about us, interestingly enough, it's still about Him. God, You are the one who meets our daily needs. God, we can forgive others, but that's because You have forgiven us. God, You are the one, the only one, who can deliver us from the evil one. And even as Jesus talks about fasting, while we're the ones called to fast, it's about Him, what we are to remember about Him, what is true about Him, our need of Him. I was reading the other day, and one author said this: fasting is the kale of the spiritual disciplines. We know it's good for us, but we don't seek it out on the menu. The fast that God required of the Jewish people was on the Day of Atonement, just that one. The Pharisees in Jesus' day, they were known for fasting quite a bit more than that, some of them two times a week, and they were doing it to show off. I would strongly encourage you to read more on fasting, the beauty of it, if you have never read up on it, if you have not practiced that as a rhythm of your life, especially maybe based on what you're walking through in life. Pastor David Kakish put it this way, I thought it was really good. He said, biblically it seems that fasting is situationally birthed. Circumstances prompt it. Fasting mourns the situation our sin, whether individually or corporately, has created. It seeks to restore intimacy with God through repentance. It is a desperate cry for patience and help, guidance and healing. Fasting intensifies the clarity of your plea. It acknowledges our weakness and our reliance on God's strength as we wait for Him to intervene. It's about Him. The motivation isn't to impress others, but to be reminded of who He is, our need for Him, the life that He has called us to in following after Him. As I've been processing through these verses, one of the challenges I think we wrestle with at times is the danger of the familiar. Sometimes I believe the greatest obstacle to embracing the life of Jesus and following Him is that we actually think we've got the way of Jesus figured out. Is it possible that His invitation to follow after Him has just become background noise in the midst of your life? Did you know that almost every Summit Church facility is close to railroad tracks? Summit Cherrydale, right behind the building. Summit Easley, right across from the building. Old Summit Simpsonville, 10 yards behind the building. New Summit Simpsonville building, where we're currently under construction, just a few blocks up from the building. Summit Spartanburg, right around the corner from the building, where my dad used to work, because he's a railroad man. Railroading family. Again, very manly. I decided not to go that route. I say that to say this: if a guest were to come to church with you, there's a really good chance that they would hear and maybe even jump a bit when the train comes rolling by during the middle of the service. While a lot of you that call Summit Church home, you don't even hear it anymore. The familiar becomes background noise. The familiar becomes background noise in the midst of life. And in reality, what we need is for the familiar to be what is ringing so loud and true. And Jesus teaches His disciples to pray. It's not a formula. It's an invitation. He calls them to fast. Not because there's nothing else better for them to do. It's an invitation to embrace his way of life and his kingdom, which you are a citizen of. My prayer is that we would not allow the familiar to keep us from truly hearing. Because when the familiar is Jesus, we should allow the familiar to be what we truly hear. My life is about your glory and fame, God. My life is about telling others of your glory and fame. While I may know that, I don't want to allow that just to be background noise in the midst of life. I want it to be what I truly embrace. I long for it to be what the world around me sees and hears. Conversations that I have, the social media worlds with which I might engage. It's my prayer for me, it's my prayer for you. Let's pray together. And I can think of no better way to close our time in prayer than by praying this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Jesus' sweet, powerful, wonderful name we pray.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.